You're listening to Popstar Conversations, taking you inside with your favorite musical artists.
Today, Chuck and I are sitting here with one of the original rockers, Gene Simmons of Kiss. Gene, welcome to the show.
Gene, thanks so much for being here today. Is this album Monster a modern-day Kiss record?
Monster is a 21st century record. It's Kiss in the 21st century, but more connected to the heart and soul. The first three records were four guys who didn't look around and see what other bands were doing, who didn't ask anybody's permission to do anything. We wrote our own songs and recorded them in the studio. And Monster is like that. Four guys with Eric and Tommy who revitalized the band, and they've both been in the band for anywhere from 10 to 20 years. Eric has been with us almost 20 years, and Tommy's about 12 or 13. And it's really important when you have all the money you could imagine and played all the places and millions of people and you have everything you ever wanted, it's good to see somebody come into the team who can't believe it all, because through their eyes you see how much of a blessing this is, how important it is, because above and beyond the money, there's a magic thing that happens, that electricity with the fans and the band. So I can buy jewelry stores and all the gold in China if I wanted to, but I never wear jewelry and stuff. You try to just be aware. You have enough to eat. You have anything you want. We travel in a nice big G4 jet. Everything is there that we want. We have our own chef, all that stuff. But when you get up on stage, approach it like a working man. Show up on time. Do the job. Sweat, real honest sweat. And do the work. And that's good. I don't remember what the question was, but I wanted to answer this answer. That when we announce ourselves on stage with, you wanted the best, you got the best, the hottest band in the world, that those words mean something. It's like an oath. It means something because when I was a fan, I was disappointed so many times by bands that I couldn't wait to see live. And live, they were shit. Okay. So I was so disappointed by some of the bands I heard, and we never wanted to do that. There is a legend to Kiss. Even the people that hate the band go, oh yeah, there's a big shadow. Before we come in, there's the history and all that stuff. And it's more than a band, it's a brand.
Did you intend to keep this record in the traditional Kiss style?
You've got to... We didn't allow guests to come down to the studio. There were no boys' choirs. There were no symphony orchestras. There's no girls singing in the background. There's not even keyboards, not even piano. I don't believe we even used acoustic guitars. Sometimes you can stick that on in the background for a little sound. You don't even hear it. Just two guitars, bass, and drums. It was good for the Beatles. It's good for us. Good for Zeppelin. It's good for us.
Was this album a tribute to the musicians that inspired Kiss?
That's a good question. It was not planned, but there are. I mean, it's a Kiss record, so they all connect. But you can hear the music that we looked up to, mostly English bands. I wrote a song called Eat Your Heart Out. The track came in fully done. Tommy, Eric, and I demoed it, and then we just redid it with the band. Slight different variation. And we started singing the backgrounds live in the studio. Paul, Tommy, myself, and Eric. And everybody sings in the band, so we all took different harmony parts. One of the harmonies was an octave. And before you start singing the harmony parts, you have to sing it live so that you can tell which one should get closer to the mic and which one should get back. And when we heard it back, the tape was rolling, because we used tape. The tape was rolling, and we said, why not stick that a cappella at the beginning of the song? And it just happened. So you hear it, eat your heart out. And then when we heard it back, we thought, gee, this has a kind of a humble pie flavor. Like 30 days in the hole. You know, the thing that they do. And it's an apropos finger pointing, if you will, because that stuff still works. That stuff, that 70s English thing, late 60s, 70s, still continues to rule the world. I mean, if Zeppelin got together now, it would be the biggest band of all time.
There's a song in this album, I'm a Freak. Were you referring to your fans?
I'm a Freak, which Paul brought in towards the end of it. The history of that was that he and Lady Gaga had spoken, and she wanted to sing the verse with him. And the schedules didn't work, and the fans probably wouldn't understand it. It would be the outside track. So it didn't happen. And then he and I started to sing the verses together. I sang one of the verses, he sang another. And then I just turned to him and I said, you know, this is too complex, because the song title and the lyrics is, I'm a Freak. So you really need one voice to talk about it, because when you have a lot of people, then it's, I'm a Freak and I'm also a Freak and this is a Freak. Then that song came in towards the end, and it's probably the outside song, less of a song that feels like the album song, but you know, it's still Kiss. But in a very real way, Kiss has always marched to the beat of our own drummer. We had a decidedly different point of view about a band. When we first started out, bands were boring. You got up, you played your guitar, and that was about it. The English bands were the only ones doing exciting things. And we decided to take it to the next step. You get up on stage, it's holy ground, it's electric church. Do something when you're up there. Superman goes to work, he wears a suit and tie as Clark Kent. But when it's time to be Superman, he looks spectacular. Clark Kent could do the same thing, but it wouldn't be as cool. You need the cape. You need to fly through the air. And I do.
So it is necessary to enhance the production of the shows.
You want some stuff, you want cool things, and it didn't begin with us. It began with Jerry Lee Lewis playing piano with his feet, and it began with Little Richard jumping on top of his piano. It began with Chuck Berry, who started doing duck walks, and Elvis, who did, you know, the weird Elvis body things. People are bringing their eyes as well as their ears. It's not enough to sing into the microphone and say, here's my next song. Not for Kiss. You have to give them show. And you know, and the black artists understood this. There was a guy named Screamin' Jay Hawkins. I'll put a spell on you. Well, the show began with him in a coffin. There was fog and he wore makeup and he got out like a voodoo doctor. That was cool. Creedence Clearwater covered I Put a Spell on You, but it was just a song. Screamin' Jay Hawkins, that was a show. Screamin' Jay Hawkins was there before The Crazy World of Arthur Brown.
The song, The Devil Is Me, what inspired you to write that song?
The Devil Is Me started off, I wrote a track, I was in Canada then, so I took a local drummer into the studio, a jazz drummer, and I had to tell him how to just play straight out, straight ahead. And I played the guitars and the bass myself because I heard that track in my voice. So I heard this kind of approach, but I didn't have a lyric. And then I finished it, came into the studio, and the band worked it up. We did it almost the same as my demo, but the lyric was different. And I wrote a lyric, I'm trying to remember. And Paul came back and said, I don't think this lyric fits the song because the feel of it feels big and dark, and the lyric feels lighter than the track. Why don't you write another, you know, sort of God of Thunder kind of song, lyrically? And I didn't understand what he meant. And he said, here's what I mean. So he wrote wrote a few lines, "The Lord's decree, the devil is me." And I said, "Yeah, devil, devil. You know, we always write songs about devils. I don't know if I want to do another one." But he wrote out the lyric. And the lyric actually was interesting because we always think of the devil, hell, and some supernatural thing. But how about if the choice of evil is yours, and maybe the devil is me? Maybe I'm the guy that does evil isn't some guy with horns. It could be me, it could be you. And I thought that was a unique kind of, don't look for an excuse why the world is full of shit. Maybe you're the one that's doing it. Maybe not a guy with horns.
Why is it that having sexual content in your music still so important?
But it's also part of what it is that we do. You know, if you take a look at some of the heavy bands, whether it's Zeppelin or Whole Lotta Love, is not about anything else except there's a lot of it. Love is not the word. There's a whole lot of ass. And part and parcel of this form is, see, Kiss will never become straight on metal lyrically. It just can't. We can't sing about dragons and elves. It doesn't come naturally to us because it's not about mythology. The mythology of now and us living in the modern world is what interests us. And singing about the past, even back to the Stone Age, it's about me going, my cell phone is driving me fucking nuts. Just put me on a mountaintop every once in a while where the air is free. And I want to go back to a time when life was simpler, but you're living right here and right now. I want to go back to the Stone Age, back where I came from, back where we all came from, back where I belong. And that came when I was, that lyric came, somebody once called me a Stone Age man, you know, that certain things are like food, eat, now, sleep, you know, the simple way of life. And technology is here to make your life easier, but if you live and die by technology, you're trapped. Because when your cell phone dies, all your numbers die. You don't know where you're going. If your GPS dies, you're trapped. You have to have some. You have to have your feet on the ground and be able to survive. So, we are sexual beings. There is good and evil in us. And what Kiss sings about is the human condition of who we are. We want to enjoy life. We want to be free. You want to live free air. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know, sort of the aspiration of humanity.
Hence the song, Hell or Hallelujah.
That's right. And that was originally, Paul came in with the track, and that was originally a different lyric. It was something like, I can't remember, something like yes or no, gotta go, something very simple. And I was the one that pushed back and said, this is not, you know, the track is spectacular, but you got to sing about something else that's important to you. The lyric just didn't make sense. And he tripped over, you know, he wanted to use the hell thing. I go, no, it's not about hell. And then he said, maybe about choices, maybe about heaven and hell. Yeah, but that's cliche. And that's where Hell or Hallelujah came in as a kind of a lyrical idea. Once he got that, the lyric wrote itself.
Gene, for your upcoming anniversary show, are you planning anything special?
We're talking about a lot of ideas. First of all, we're going on a Kiss cruise, the second one, in the Bahamas. 5 days with our fans. It's going to be great. The first one was spectacular. And we do obscure songs, unplugged and in makeup. And, you know, without a big show, just coming out and playing the way we did on the very first tour. And we are planning on doing some big things, because who imagined 40 years ago four idiots off the streets of New York who didn't have a clue how the world worked? We made $75 a week. And then at the end of the first year, we made $85 a week. But we didn't have to go 9 to 5. We thought this was the best life we could ever imagine. And here we are, close to 40 years on, with an empire. I mean, The Kiss Golf Course is in Las Vegas. The Kiss Coffee House is in Myrtle Beach. We have Kiss Cruises, Kiss Hello Kitty, which is in 90 countries. It's enormous. And, of course, the albums and the concerts, but that's not even the whole thing. There are 3,000 licenses, and the Kiss Monster book is coming out. You know how big that is?
I heard it weighed 50 pounds. That thing must be massive.
Well, it weighs as much as a 10-year-old. And if you open it up, it's 5 feet wide. 2.5 feet wide. Open it up to see the pages. 5 feet. I'm 6'2". It's up to here. So it comes with its own stand. So it's a real art book. And Kissology number 4 is coming. That's going to be 10 hours long. The first three Kissologies sold 20 times platinum just in America. So there are new Kiss comics and new... I'm just making a deal now for Kiss Limos, the Kiss Limousine service in Las Vegas, where the drivers will wear Kiss makeup. There'll be women, and on the outside there'll be artwork and stuff. In other words, nothing I ever imagined it would be. It's becoming anything and everything. And at the Kiss Golf Course, there's the Kiss Wedding Chapel. You can get a Kiss wedding where there's a 3-foot-tall man in Kiss makeup who says, "Repeat after me. I was made for loving you." Then you say that. "And you were made for loving me." And it's legal. You get your marriage license. And a nudist colony came in and rented out the whole place, and they had naked golf at the Kiss Golf Course. They put on makeup, and they were naked, and they played golf. And they have dog weddings at the golf course. It's nuts, but we have such a great time. And part of our history is also how proud we are of the bands who we picked to go out on their first tours. Motley is one of them. They're doing great. You should see this show. They're doing great. They came a long, long way. They'll go on right before us. Bon Jovi, AC/DC, Rush, Cheap Trick, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, you name it, we took them on their first tour, either outside of their own country or inside of the country. Just the list is too long to mention. And maybe that says something about us, not just me, is that besides being in a band, we also like to go see other bands. And like mothers, when they see a baby, you want to pick up the baby and hold it and give it a chance to live. That's what we like doing with new bands. Always give them a chance to survive.
Gene, before we wrap this up, I have to ask you, after all those years of you and Shannon being together, why did you finally get married?
Shannon has been with me for 28 years. This month it's going to be 29, and she put up with my crap. In other words, girls, not one, not 10, not 100, thousands, for 28 years. And she raised 2 great kids. They're really fantastic. Sophie has her own place called Sophie's Place in Vancouver, which treats 10,000 abused kids every year. This is a huge facility, and Sophie raises the money all by herself. She's 20 now. Nicholas is 23. And Shannon raised them. So I got married at 62. That's when men grow up. Before then, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. There's too much inside of me. You know, when like a balloon is ready to burst, every day I'd wake up and it felt like I wanted to burst. And you can't be on a diet and live in a bakery and be surrounded by cakes and cookies and chocolate. You can't.
Gene, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again for listening to Popstar Conversations. Be sure to click the subscribe button below and hit the red bell so that you'll be notified of our next exclusive interview.
Thank you for listening to Popstar Conversations. Please join us again for another conversation with your favorite musical artist.